So when we were in Spain for testing, I saw a magician and he said, "Nate, I'm going to disappear on the count of three." And he said, "Uno, dos," and then poof, he disappeared without a trace.
Wow, that
But
must be the biggest laugh we've ever had for Medders.
I just didn't see it
Medders,
coming. It
I
took me a
thought for a
second.
second there was a 0 out of 10 because I was like, neither
No.
of you laughed. It's like I'm in a different time zone to you guys. Like I thought it just hadn't gone down well, or was on mute or something.
I just didn't see it. You know, like I quite often say, like, oh, I can see where the punchline is going, or it's a bit like groan. But that, yeah, you caught me off guard, mate.
Well, that's
In a
high
good
praise
way,
indeed.
Medders. Just not that it's going to skew my voting, but was it a good caught off guard?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, I
Wow.
must admit.
I mean, that's
But
rare.
Bretta,
That's
you
this
don't
is.
have to like it. Come on, there's times where I've not liked stuff and you've rated it highly. We don't have to always be friends here.
I enjoyed the relevancy of, Barcelona testing. Potentially, Nate, is this an original?
It's not an ori I heard it from somewhere a long time
So
ago, so
it's
it's not
not
an original.
original.
I'd like to claim that it's at least originally told because I made it about testing. So that version of it, you can't hear anywhere else but on this podcast, which is literally like two words different, but still different.
Okay, Nate, it's a five.
Oh, I thought you laughed more than a five.
I just didn't like it that
Okay.
much.
Noted.
No, because
Wordplay is not the way to go. Just make a note of that in my big book
I
of
suppose
joke
just in my head,
feedback.
tres and trace too
Uno,
far
dos, tres.
apart. No, I know,
Yeah,
I
maybe I
know,
said it wrong. Maybe I said it wrong.
You did
I
say
just,
trace very clearly rather than
yeah,
tres, which might have
disappear
worked
without a
better.
tres.
But that's it. That's the gauntlet you
Well,
run with live delivery, mate.
that is true. That is the risks we run in this business. Sorry to any Spanish speakers if you didn't get that also. It's probably my fault.
Welcome to the Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Bretto, F1 correspondent and presenter.
I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders from ESPN.
And that was multiple takes that I have not left in the edit for everyone. But just so you know, Barreto called it the Padcock, which does lead me onto the memory that McLaren have an OnlyFans sponsored car in British GT, I
Oh
think,
yeah, they
this year,
do.
which looks incredible. That's hilarious.
Which, let's be honest, a lot of McLaren fans are going to be pretty excited about that because McLaren have some rather strange fans. So they'll be downloading whatever that app is. Sorry, McLaren fans, but come on, I've seen you on
Nice.
Twitter. I'm calling them out. The amount of merch they all buy is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I'm sick of it. I'm taking a stand.
I mean, if they like their merch,
Nate
Nate,
takes on McLaren.
they can wear
To be
their
fair,
merch.
McLaren themselves, I like. They gave me a nice Lego car the other day. That was fun.
So you like McLaren merch, is what you're
I haven't bought
saying.
any though, have I? So,
I haven't made my
just
Lego car yet either.
no, I haven't
No,
either yet.
me.
Thanks, though, McLaren. I
But
do
I
appreciate
will get to it. I will get to it.
it.
But
Same. When we're done slagging off your fans, apparently.
not all of them, just a segment of.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, but Meadows, you probably led me down that path. Carry on with your OnlyFans chat.
Sure. Yeah. And then Barreto forgot his job title for the second attempt. So essentially, this is you guys will get, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes of podcasting. It will have been about 6 hours worth of recording to get there.
Yeah.
So, just
Well,
be
that's actually
thankful for the
quite
efforts we
efficient
go
for
to.
me. That's
True
quite
that.
efficient for me, yeah.
True that.
Pretty good.
Well, on that though, about how efficient you are, Barreto, I'm not sure. So we've got three reviews today. Settle in, everyone. Two of them are quite short, and I'm going to start with the. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get to the most negative last. I'm going to
Wow.
start with a big question from Josh Boskill here in the UK, who asks, "Where's the Danny Rick book, Nate?"
As
And he
in,
says, he says, "Love the pod, guys. Nice and chilled, providing an insight into the sport we all love. On to the more pressing matter, Nate, where can I get your book on Ricardo? Been trying to find it for ages."
that's a very good question. Unfortunately, it's really difficult to find. They stopped selling it during the pandemic, because I think they were using it. It was basically, it had healing powers as well. So people were opening it up and it was acting like a mask. It was that, it was that good. And we put that, I put that in. I demanded that was in 2018 because I'm just, I had the foresight, you know, to think maybe the world will need it one day. Joking aside, it's very difficult to get hold of, but Hardy Grant have said they're going to hopefully be releasing some new ones at the end of the year. So yeah, I will be tweeting incessantly about that if they do come out. But there are a few that people seem to sell on eBay and Amazon after they've read them cover to cover and enjoyed them thoroughly. So but sadly it is difficult to get hands on. To give a long answer to a very short question.
Well, take Brett and I's laughter as you will.
I will.
The next one comes from Biting Tim in the USA, which is an interesting...
Biting Tim?
Yeah, interesting Apple podcast name. But, you know, hi, Tim. Or Biting. Which is, the review title is, "Their virtual F1 friends I don't have in the US." It says, "The hosts are guys I wish I ran into at the bar, but as an American F1 fan, I seldom come across people in my daily life who share the F1 fanaticism bug. I think there's more now, Tim. They're coming. They're coming. Go looking for them."
Yeah. Go into the bar next, just go meow. See how many fans look and be like, "Wait a minute, that sounds like an F1 car." That's how I make all my friends.
Also says, "They aren't taking the podcast or themselves too seriously. Glad you noticed. They just chat about their lives in F1 and provide some new info and insights sometimes. If you need, if you just need a little unpretentious take on F1 talk, there are worse opinions than these three." That is genuinely what we aim for.
Praise. I'm going to take that as a compliment. Yeah, I think that's good.
It's a 5-star review, so I'm taking that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. And Josh's was a 5-star review, even though he just wants to bribe Nate for a copy of the book. But finally, we move on to the 4-star review. And it's from...
4 out of 4, though, right?
It's 4 out of 5. It's titled "Very Entertaining." It's from 864FGN. In the UK, and they say, "I love this podcast. Been here since the beginning. My only issue, one of the presenters can't stop saying once you notice, you can't block it out." Now,
I know who that is.
Is that me?
I think it might be you, Barretto.
I think it's me because I noticed this. I listened to a little bit the other day just because I like listening to my own voice, and I did say and you know a few times. Who's this guy saying like? So apologies if anyone else has noticed that.
Well, we'll all self-censor.
Yeah. Maybe we should beep. Let's beep my likes out.
I mean, that's a little bit of extra editing work that Medders needs.
No.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Not busy today at all. It's fine.
Like. Might not be me, though. So if it
wasn't today.
Me,
it's definitely you today.
It is for me, yeah. Who sent that review? Can they please confirm or deny whether it's me? And if it is me, I'm sorry. If it's not me, then I'm not sorry because I've taken the flak for one of these two guys.
It's 864FGN. I mean, it could be any of the three of us. So we will all be ultra careful for the rest of this episode not to say that word. I'm not even going to mention it now. Except for there is some news that we all like. Hey!
Boom!
I think we all like it, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I like a lot.
It's great.
I double like.
As Nate will now sing, what is the news we're talking about, Nate?
I was not informed that I'd be singing, and I have actually forgotten how this tune properly goes. So,
Return of the Mac.
Magnuson. That's my own take on it. I love K-Mag. He's going to be up there with Gasly for me for just knowing.
I did not know he was that high.
Mate, I love the guy. I think he's great. Good racing driver. Nice guy to talk to.
Do I have to print more mugs?
Well, it doesn't quite go, does it? Magnuson, love Magnuson. Don't think that fits. But we'll come with that one.
K-Mag. That sounds better.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good. But no, I'm buzzing that he's back. I think it's some of the best news F1's had since about last week when we realised Ferrari are going to win the championship.
or a few days later when Alfa Romeo unveiled their new favourite livery of yours.
Yes, the one that looks like a toaster, as the last episode was called. No, I think this is great. And I actually read a very well-informed article about this, a very insightful piece of journalism It was about 6 days ago. Yeah, I went onto a little-known website. Bear with me here. Make sure you get a pen and paper. Write this down. ESPN.com/ That's the sort of slanted straight line. F1, which is the sport we're talking about. And a journalist called Nate Saunders put him in candidates in the running for the Haas seat at third. I'm just going to read a little segment, if that's all right, just because it's aged beautifully. I won't even read the whole thing. Where is it? Here he is. Beautiful font as well. While racing in sports cars, he's often talked about how much he's relished having the opportunity to arrive at a racing paddock with a car capable of winning. So the prospect of returning to a team which could well be at the tail end of the F1 grid, again, might not appeal to him. That said, it's still Formula One, and Magnussen might not get another opportunity to force his way back into a race seat at the pinnacle of motorsport. Despite his famous outburst he provoked from Haas team principal Gunther Steiner in the Netflix series Drive to Survive, Magnussen left the team on good terms and would be a natural fit back in a familiar environment.
Now,
Are you applauding yourself? Nate?
I am.
Oh. Well, just to follow up on that, because there were some very interesting points you made there. Mainly that you had him at number three. So, Nate, talking of aging beautifully, who did you have at number one and two?
Well, I had the two most obvious candidates. One was Pietro Fittipaldi, who will be driving still this week, and Antonio Giovinazzi, who everyone thought would get a look in, but didn't.
And there were two others as well you mentioned, wasn't there? So what you did was you threw all of the mud at the wall and hoped some would stick.
Yeah. And the middle bit stuck.
The Magnussen-shaped mud stuck to the wall. The bit that was shaped like Oscar Piastri slid down the wall, disappointingly. And the Hülkenberg bit just missed completely, didn't it?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
It was not there. But, you know, one out of five, a fifth correct. I'll take it.
20% facts this week. Wow.
Yes. the fact amount has gone down. I will be bragging about this for at least another 3 days, and then I'll forget about it.
I mean, I'll admit I did not put him in the running because I thought moving so quickly they were going to need someone who was more available, and I thought so. Pietro, yeah, like you said, we'll get to do some testing. I thought there was a chance he'd even start the season while they tried to organise a replacement driver. I thought Piastri would be actually a good candidate. I thought Alpine would be banging on the door at Haas and being like, look, for a season, he'd be a really good fit, good experience. And Giovinazzi, like you said, with the Ferrari links, I kind of had those three. And I have an article that has not aged beautifully, not even slightly. In fact, I'm going to do what Nate's just done and go to a little website called racer.com. That's R-A-C-E-R .com. And I'm going to find, this article from a month ago, 7th of February.
I've actually found it, Menas. It says, Kevin Magnussen has no chance of ever making Formula One ever again. And if he does, I will eat my hat.
Not quite any that, hat I own. But I'm reading it. This is genuinely for you to make your own minds up on what this means cryptically, because the headline is, Magnussen rules out returning to F1's midfield. And he says he would turn down the offer of a return to Formula One for anything other than a race-winning team. And I quote directly, the rest of my career will be only racing with a hope of winning. Whatever I do, I'm not going to go into anything if I know I can't win. Never again. Wow, so I said, does that mean you wouldn't come back to F1 for a midfield drive? And he's like, no, I've been there, done that.
Hang on, when was this?
A month ago. Daytona time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm digging him out. I'm digging him out. I like the guy, but I'm digging him out because done exactly what we all would do. Or Haas are going to win. It's one of the
two. Haas could be race winners. Yeah, exactly.
But this rule change, I feel like this is a fun time to come back. Like, even if Haas are near the back, the cars should be in a position where they're all going to be aggressively developing them. Like, Haas aren't going to write this year off from the first race like they did last year. And we didn't see much of them at testing, but they do seem pretty confident about that car. Like, they seem like I'm not saying that, you know, that they think they're going to do a brawn or anything like that, but there's not the doom and gloom around the team like you've seen for a few other years, especially like the last year Magnussen was there when it was just kind of, it wasn't that competitive. So I think he'd be quite excited to come back, especially as his last memory of F1 would have been a pretty uncompetitive car and season. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he's coming back in, you know, they can race a bit closer. And Magnussen's really great at that. I think that's one thing that Gene Haas has always liked about him a lot is that he's kind of, he's a bit of a hard racer, which is, you know, has always set him in good stead. And in these cars, that could be a really big asset, you know, especially if they're in the midfield and they're fighting for positions. So, yeah, I love it. And I heard that he was one of the first people they called, but I'm not sure how optimistic they were about, you know, his availability because of those things he'd said previously. But like Lawrence said, it's a really sensible fit, I think.
I think when he left, he had unfinished business. I remember him being quite down about the fact that he was leaving in the manner that he, which obviously the team decided they wanted to go for rookie drivers, drivers that brought financial support. And he obviously didn't quite fit into that category. So I think that he felt that he didn't really get a fair shot at it. So I think it's great that he can go back to a team where we saw he excelled. Like, he didn't really settle at McLaren or Renault, but he seemed to settle in really well at Haas. So they're the perfect team, I think, for him. To try and get the best out of him. And he's going back when they really want him and they really need him. So he's managed to get a multi-year deal out of it. So really, for him, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, it means leaving the Peugeot deal, but I think that's also an unknown, isn't it? You don't know if you're going to be winning races in that, being a brand new category in sports cars. And I think, like you said, it's partly as well, like, to give him a bit of, or cut him a bit of slack. This isn't a known quantity in terms of where the team will be, but it's also a team that is in need right now. They've come to him and been like, look, you know, we've got a situation, we've got a problem, we need to try and resolve it, and we think you're the best guy to do it. And he's kind of helping out friends in a sense. You know, this is a team that he felt a real affinity with, as you say, Lawrence, that he was really comfortable within and found a home at. So I think based on all that, it really fits a lot better for him. I don't know in terms of sponsorship actually what tie-up there could be, but the team clearly have, they've prioritized what they think is best for them, not just financially, but in terms of what's going to get us the best results. And like you said, a multi-year deal is because obviously Mick isn't their driver. He's a Ferrari driver. So one, it's going to be a good benchmark for Mick, really good benchmark. And I think with where they're at in their careers, I think they are a pairing that should work well together. Mm-hmm. But two, that also means they've got some stability moving forward. If Mick does move to another team or Ferrari want to ever put him in the Ferrari car, that you know, if they'd just got in the downside of someone like Piastri, who I was saying might have been in the mix, would be that's probably for 1 year as well until Alpine won him, and suddenly you're left with no drivers, no continuity, where, you know, however good you've been, and that's, you know, a bit of a challenge, and you don't have that stability that you need. So yeah, it's been I think it's a smart move all around, actually, and it is good to see him back to, like Nate says, to be able to maybe just be a bit more competitive than he was when he was last racing in F1.
Yeah, I've always really rated him. I think he's really good. He to me is a bit like Carlos Sainz in the sense that obviously Sainz now has had that chance at Ferrari, but Magnussen had that first race where he got the podium on his debut, McLaren. Mm-hmm. Obviously, then he kind of joined McLaren at the worst time you could have joined them. Really, at, you know, 2014, that was the start of that kind of decline that we saw that took a few years. Obviously, the year before the Honda deal, but he then kind of just bounced around the midfield, and I always felt like there was real, you know, signs of him being really talented, but just didn't have the funding to maybe get a bit better seat or get a better opportunity. And it's quite nice that, I mean, you mentioned it, you're not sure about the funding, but he lost this seat because obviously Magnussen came in the same time Schumacher did. That's why Grosjean and Magnussen left. And it's quite nice now that Haas have had to almost do a U-turn on a decision that was financially motivated to go back to a racing, like a real racing driver who kind of hasn't really had that lucky break that maybe he, I mean, he's had a lucky break, like he's been in and out of Formula One, but he's not had, like, in my opinion, he's not had maybe the breaks that he might have, such, like Perez had a great break, for example, with Red Bull. Like, Magnussen's not had a break like that, a moment in his career where you're like, yeah, this is, like, if he doesn't make this work, then he doesn't deserve to be in F1. I don't feel like he's had that yet. So I'm not saying this necessarily will be, but, you know, he's 30 this year, so he's still a relatively young driver compared to what, like, young drivers were like 5-10 years ago. Obviously, he'll be one of the oldest guys on the grid this season. But at 30, like, you could still, you know, have five years left in him, you know, even longer maybe. So, yeah, it's very cool. And I think he can go back and do WEC as well. Like, you know, WEC's not going anywhere. The Peugeot stuff's not going to go anywhere. So, yeah. I feel like, if you're choosing between two things, you pick the better option, don't you? And F1's always going to be the better option, as long as you're not going back to, like, a team you know is going to be last every week. So I'd have done the same thing. They actually called me after and they said, look, Kevin's taken the job, but otherwise it would have been you, Nate. And I was like, that's understandable. No worries.
Was that after they saw your We Nate as One banner across the track at Bahrain? They thought that was for testing.
Yes. Yes. A fan, I can't remember the fan's name, but sent us
Why not? I thought you were collating all these Twitter replies, Nate.
I collated the Boot Medland ones, and I forgot to...
I thought
to,
it was on the Boot Medland. I will admit, I thought it was on the Boot
Medland. It might
be.
It might well have been, but I did not see it. No, it was. It was, sorry. And I have to give a shout out just randomly now to Edgar Lazada, who also suggested that without Medland, we'd call this podcast Gasly Babes or Gasly Hoes. But they photoshopped the banner over the Bahrain International Circuit as We Nate as One. And I love it. It's going to be my Twitter handle soon. Twitter handle? Twitter header? I was a big fan. So yeah, very, very cool. Sorry, that was a complete random tangent. Done.
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. But you mentioned...
No. Yeah. But completely fair. Do you think that Schumacher will beat Magnussen over the course of the year? Or do you think Magnussen will beat Schumacher?
Oh, good question.
So I think this will be a really interesting test for Haas, but it'll be the first chance we really get to see how good Schumacher is. Because I feel like for Haas, this will be one good thing, is that they know how good Magnussen is. Like, they've measured him against Grosjean. They've had him in the team. They know, you know, what to expect from him. And I always got the impression that it was always Grosjean was the more frustrating one from a performance perspective for them, especially in that final, you know, those final couple of seasons. So if Schumacher raises his game and beats Magnussen, I think Ferrari will look at that and say, well, this is really encouraging because Magnussen's no slouch. So that part of it is really exciting as well. Because let's face it, like, Magnussen was just a terrible yardstick. You know, people were joking, like, he finished 21st in a 20 driver championship.
Mazepin. You keep saying Magnussen every time you want to say Mazepin.
Do I? Sorry, Mazepin wasn't a good measuring stick. There's too many M's. Too many M's. I'm glad one M's replacing the other, because otherwise I'd be all over the place, you know? Lewis Mamilton and Max Mappen.
Dear, oh dear.
That was very bad.
This is why Beretta's on screen.
I think that Magnussen's going to have a better start to the year, but I think gradually over time, Mick's probably going to get on top of it. And I also think he's going to learn quite a lot from having an experienced driver in the other car, which will probably accelerate his development. And so eventually that will kind of move him ahead. I think he's in a good place, Mick, because there's not going to be an opening at Ferrari immediately. So he has got a little bit of time to kind of start showing that he's got what it takes to make it to that work seat. So he doesn't have to like run before he can walk. So I think if he can kind of just beat Kevin by the end of this year and then like accelerate away next year, I think that will be enough to prove that he potentially deserves a seat this year. So it's yet another driver pairing, isn't it, this year, that will be quite interested to see how it plays out.
I love your racing lingo there with accelerate away next year. Look at the way he did that. This guy should be a writer. I agree in that he's got time on his side. I think I find it hard to call. I'd actually imagine that Magnussen will get the better of him over this season, but even then, that's a big ask for Kevin, having not been preparing for an F1 season and not really been, you know, he's going to be jumping in the car so cold at the weekend, this week. So he's got a lot of catching up to do in that.
Should be quite warm. Should be quite warm in Bahrain.
Oh, here he is.
I decided not to do that, Nate. So it says a lot that you
I saw you make the flinch and then you didn't go for it. And I was like, I'm not as good as that. I'm going to go for it.
But I was going to say that the fact that we're even having a debate reflects well on Schumacher, actually. Like, Magnussen is a very... I've just said the word that our friend doesn't like people saying. Magnussen is a very solid driver. We know he's consistent. We know what he can produce. And, you know, and we're all excited to see him come back. So with that, to then have a debate over whether Schumacher will beat him or not, I think is a good place for Schumacher to be, which isn't a given in terms of... We're having to do that based on what we've seen from him up to now, as Nate says, against Mazepin, who wasn't really a very good benchmark for him. And we haven't been able to judge it in a competitive car either. So there's not actually been that much evidence yet, but there's just been enough that makes you think, yeah, no, Mick has got something. And, you know, his improvement rate last year, his normal improvement rate in his second season, I think it's a really good pairing for us now, which I don't think anyone saw coming. From a while back, you wouldn't have gone into the season being like, oh, it's going to be so exciting to see the Haas pair. And now it is, which is quite cool. So, and I do think they made, as an aside, I think they made the right call with cutting ties with Oralkali and Mazepin. I think the links were too close to Putin and to where the money has been generated from, or how the money's generated that then goes into the team, that in this climate, you can't be taking that and broadcasting it around the world as the marketing platform that Formula One is, and having a driver who is funded by that, trying to get good results and show how good they are based on that backing they've had. So it is, in a sense, harsh on Nikita in that he didn't ask for any of this to happen and has now lost his job as such. But that's still, as I said a week ago on my rant, that's a far lesser of the two evils with what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I think that Mazepin was in F1 because of the money, and the money's not right. So I've got no issue with him going.
And Barreto shakes his head. Ever the diplomat. So I think it's nice now to look at what could be a new start for Haas in many ways. Because they get some heat sometimes in terms of not being American enough, and because of where some of the money comes from. And with the Andretti links, it's I'll just let Andretti buy them out and have a proper American team. But even then, Andretti have said they're going to base themselves in the UK because you need to do that, and they'd have partners. And like that's just the nature of the competition, that you have to do those things. So
yeah, like half the season of F1 is in Europe, so like you have to base yourself here. You have to be fairly European. I feel like that's just part of the game.
And it's the personnel. It's where all the expertise are. Yeah, it's so hard to tell enough skilled, experienced people who are all based in Europe to move across to the US to then, like you say, add all that travel and add a lifestyle that is very cool at sometimes at the track. But we've been talking about the expanding calendar. If you were based in the US and trying to do every single race, when you hit the European season, you're better off just staying in Europe for that whole time. You're not going to get home in between races. Whereas if you are UK-based or you're Central European-based, you do get home for a few days each time. That sort of thing. They're weird little logistics that actually matter. So hopefully it means there's a bit of a fresh start for Haas with some new partners or some fresh investment from existing partners as well. And they can kind of come out of this whole situation in actually a better place. That would be a good thing.
We've talked a bit about likes on this episode. What I like and what we like is advertising, because we're big sellouts. And we like advertising stuff for people that like us. I've been thinking a lot recently about Imola, which is a circuit. And another thing that I like, which is mineral water, right? And in Italian, another thing I like, that is acqua minerale. That is acqua minerale, which is a corner at Imola. Now, when me and Meadows drove around Imola a couple of years ago in that supercar, we've told the story many times, we stopped at a few places around the circuit. Acqua Minerale was one of them. And it's a pretty special place. I think you'd agree, Meadows. Like, you're there and you just think, this is such a cool circuit, such a cool place to watch. I went there in 2004 with my dad, Jenson Button on pole, Rubens Barrichello won for Ferrari. Amazing, amazing weekend. Kind of rekindled my love for Formula One at a time when I hadn't really gone to any live events for a long, long time. And yeah, our friends at Omologato, who we've mentioned before, amazing watchmakers, motorsport-themed watchmakers, they have an Imola watch called, drumroll please, the Acqua Minerale, which is based on Imola. Beautiful, beautiful watch designs, got the corner drawn through the middle, Imola written in the middle of it. Absolutely beautiful watch. If you're into watches and you're into motorsport, you've got to check these guys out. I think they're absolutely fantastic. Omologato watches.
And Nate, the year you went was not when Alonso held off Schumacher.
It wasn't. That was the year before. That was the year after I went, which obviously is one of the most famous events of kind of Imola's of that era. So I was out by a year, which I did not like. But I did see Ferrari win. Thanks.
Which is probably bad.
I did see Ferrari win in Italy, which is always pretty special.
Yeah, that sounds
even
cool.
If it wasn't Schumacher. Yeah. Because we like Rubens. We like Rubens.
We do. Like. We endorse Rubens. And we endorse this message. Omologato watches. So the website is spelt Omologato watches.com. So all one word, omologatowatches.com. And I had to explain that and spell it out for you because we got told off by Barreto's father a couple of weeks ago. He basically said, you're all useless at broadcasting. You can't do anything right. And you need to change. So he sat us all down.
He said, I don't have a son.
And he said, I couldn't find it because you spoke so quickly and didn't actually spell it out for me. And I couldn't find the website. So
which was
there you go. Omologatowatches.com.
He's going to love you for that. He's going to absolutely love
but that is an ad, out. But there is a reason we're talking about Imola as well, because awesome news this week as well. Imola, 5 more years, which I think is great. I don't know where all these races are going on the calendar, but I think it's awesome news.
I imagine that watch is going to absolutely bang as well right now because of that. It barely came back on, did it? He already had a really cool Imola watch and it got itself a year and then another year of F1. And then, to stay on to 2025 is a big deal. I'm pretty impressed with how it's one of the things Liberty have said that they were going to do when they came in was we want to protect and even add like historic races and venues, but also add new places. And it's because of the value of the history that you can't buy that adds to the value for new circuits that are trying to come on. And they've done that. They haven't just taken the money from like brand new markets. So for Imola to get a longer term deal, I think it's a really, really cool bit of news. And I haven't been back there for a race yet, but I get to go this year. And I am excited about that.
Same. I'll be there this year. And I'm really like, genuinely buzzing for that because I think Imola, I haven't been there since we drove it, Meadows. Well, you drove it. You let me drive, I think, Tamburello maybe, or like the next corner down for maybe 14 meters, which was fair. Given
wow,
we were
very generous.
But to be fair, yeah. I mean, we're driving a car that if I'd crashed, Meadows would have probably had to spend £3 billion, on. So, I love it. And hosted a great race last year as well, which I always think helps when a circuit hosts a great race. They come back to the negotiating table and, people are like, oh, yeah, good memories of this place. So, bring it on. 5 more years of Imola.
And this year will be the first time it's full since it's come back onto the calendar. So yes. We've had it twice, haven't we? We've had 2020 and 2021 as the Emilia-Romagna Grand Premio.
Emilia-Romagna.
Thank you, Nate, for
you're welcome.
Correcting me. but yeah, and they haven't had big crowds there because of the pandemic, but we'll get that, should get a full house this year, which will be awesome.
Yes, I went the last couple of years to both of them and it was pretty cool without the fans. It's going to be pretty special when they're back. There's quite a few places along that track where you can watch from balconies. There's a few houses on corners that you could see. So some fans got to see it, or there's some parts of you get into the park, you can see through the catch fencing and stuff. So it'll be cool when it is a full house and it is a pretty mega track. One of my favourite ones to run, actually. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that.
It's quite hilly.
There's that house, isn't it?
Very hilly, yeah. Puts you under pressure.
That'll be tough in the middle sector, especially, I imagine. There's that house, isn't there, up at the... Oh, I can't even remember the name of the... I just had the map up. I was just looking at it. But the chicane in the middle sector, there's that house like smack bang in the middle of that bit of the track. Not in the middle of the track, but like right in the shot all the time. I always think that's pretty awesome. It's one of those circuits that it's a bit like Spa. It looks like it's just kind of been dropped into the middle of like life, where some circuits look are purpose-built. I know that, I know all circuits are kind of purpose-built if they're not street circuits, but Imola doesn't feel like that sometimes. You feel like someone's just kind of been like, yeah, we'll just drop this here, and it just works. Traffic is an absolute nightmare when I went, but I'm sure they can sort that out. It has like one road in and out of Imola. So
I was about to say, I'm not sure they can sort it out, but yeah. Varianti Alta is the one you mean, isn't it?
That's it, Varianti Alta. I was about to say that, and I didn't want to butcher any more of the names after kind of just talking about mineral water for the advert. So.
But what does that mean, Nate, in Italian?
What, acqua minerale? Mineral waters.
Varianti Alta.
Varianti Alta? Varianti Alta. That's a very good question. A great question. And I don't know it off the top of my head.
I think I can work it out.
Varianti would be... Go on.
That's chicane. Varianti is chicane. That's what it describes anyway. But Alta, I think, is like the upper. Because there's also, which doesn't exist anymore, but Varianti Bassa, which was the final chicane in the days that you went for the race, which is the like lower, the base one. So that's what I'm deducing that from the track map. But I'm pretty certain.
Alta is high. Alta is high.
High chicane and the low chicane, basically.
This is like I'm listening to like Rosetta Stone or one of those like language courses. I'm enjoying
I'd
it.
Listen to us. I'd listen it. To us yeah. talk language.
You've got very soothing voices for one of those CDs. Yeah.
We should put out a sleep special, shouldn't we, for Pad Hoc?
That's most of our episodes, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, sleep special. Sleeping with the Pad Hoc. Wait. don't do that.
You wish.
All of our listeners. That'd be a busy old room. Anyway, who's going to be winning it, Imola? We might.
We might find out this week. I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah, usually it's Lawrence that shunts at this point.
I know. I haven't had one
Lawrence,
single
save
shunt.
The pod. Save the pod, please.
Are Ferrari going to win the second pre-season running championship?
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's testing. That's what they do, right? That's their thing. That's their thing.
But they are, aren't they one of the few teams who are probably going to bring the same car that they had in Barcelona, just with a few tweaks or two?
Because it was so good.
Yeah, maybe. But also, like, Mercedes.
Say it like
Red
you
Bull.
Need it, mate.
But Mercedes and Red Bull, like, it would be a bit gutting if they turned up and it was like they were clearly the better team going into the season. Not that that's not a good thing in the sense that we still get to see Max and Lewis, but it's like, you know, we all kind of had that moment of like, oh, maybe Ferrari, maybe McLaren are in the mix. And then it'd be like, oh, they're still like third and fourth. They might be closer, but I wanted them all qualifying within like a millisecond of each other. Eight cars, all split by like a hair, and that's it for the season.
Wow, that's close.
Yeah, it is close. Very close. No? No one agrees?
No.
You guys are both going. What are you both looking forward to the most before we sign off?
Playing some golf, bit of karting, Kings of Leon concert on the Friday night. That sounds
wow.
cool.
Gutted. You can see how hard meddling works, dear listeners.
To be fair, so genuinely, I found, I think it was when I was booking my flights, which were late, and I think Gulf Air were advertising the fact that there was this Kings of Leon concert going on the Friday night. And I was like, oh, that's a Friday night of the race weekend. That's interesting. Turns out it's at the circuit, in this like amphitheater at the circuit. So I was like, that'd be cool to watch. But doors opened at 6. So I didn't know what time Kings of Leon would be on, but testing ends at 7. So I was like, I can't get tickets to that. I'll be working too hard. I don't finish that quickly after the end of running. I know people think that basically the cars stop and we all just go to the pub, but actually, especially writing wise, that's normally when we start working.
It's kind of
harder.
When the work begins, yeah.
Yeah, especially in a race weekend. Like, it's amazing. We work for like 5-6 hours after the end of the last session quite often. But for this one, actually potentially doable. They're meant to be on stage at about 8:15. So if I can get everything organized and finish things off in about an hour, even if it takes a bit longer, I should get there for most of the gig. And some tickets are coming around. So that'll be fun. But
there you go, Kings of Leon's fans. You know Meadows' travel plans now.
But no, I was going to say, like, for a serious answer, I think I'm really looking forward to seeing true performance from some teams, because even Williams have been happy to come out like previewing the event, being like, yeah, we're going to turn it up now. We're going to see what we've got. And I think for a lot of teams, there's enough good, strong running in Barcelona, mileage-wise, that they can now push. They're not trying to fix problems. Whereas if you look at maybe, you know, a Haas or an Alfa Romeo or an Alpine, they've got work to do just to get their car running consistently, or it looks like that. So we might not see their full potential in terms of performance this week, but hopefully we'll see a little bit more from them, because we saw hardly anything in Barcelona. But yeah, I think for good 7 teams that we should see really start to push it a bit. And as Barreto, I think, has hinted at already, how different the Merck and Red Bull look will be really cool. It's always fun when you're at testing, you can go and get close and kind of really analyze the changes to the cars and the new parts that are coming in and things. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that's the first morning. It will be quite cool just to see the Red Bull and the Mercedes for the first time. And even then, that might not be the final iteration, because often Red Bull, I think in a few years, have waited to like the final afternoon before they bolted all of their new bits on. So it might be that we won't know until the end of testing. But I think it will be good to see some performance runs quite early on, because I think they'll be quite keen to do low fuel stuff as early as possible, especially learning the tyres, because there's some easy wins if you can get that kind of stuff sorted early in the season. So I am very much looking forward to that.
And you're staying out there, aren't you, Barreto, in between?
Yes, yeah, so I'm staying out between the race and between the testing and the race. Just because it just makes sense. Cuts one long haul flight or two long haul flights out, and I can work from anywhere
saving
in
the planet.
World. So one, yeah, just one step at a time. exactly.
Jinx.
Yeah.
But before we end this episode, Nate, I think you've been collating some things, haven't you?
I have. I was about to say,
from hashtag boot Medland, we can't
leave. So for context, for anyone who didn't leave last week, Medders left for a segment of time.
Quite a significant
unnamed F1 driver. I'll leave it up to Meadows if he wants to reveal who.
It was Pietro. Yeah, it was Pietro. He wanted to know what's going on.
Yeah, sorry, Pietro, and man.
I feel for him.
I put you top of my list if it makes you feel any better. Probably doesn't.
That's probably what cost him.
Yeah, probably. So, apologies. I should put you third, because that sticks to the wall, doesn't it? Anyway, I said during it, I was like, what a great podcast me and Lawrence have together, just talking, chewing the fat, putting the world to rights. So I said to people, let's boot Medlin from the podcast, and please send us your best podcast names for just the two of us with hashtag boot Medlin. We have some good ones. So if you will allow me. Obviously, I read Ida Lazada's earlier, which were Gasly Babes or Gasly Hoes. A lot of hoes. A lot of fans like hoes, don't they, of our listeners. Katharina at Katha Hayde said 51% of truth and flashy shoes.
Ah.
Nice. Like that.
Which is good. I like that one. Or the Rogue Hawk, which is another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Horrocks said, how about renaming to the Nomads?
Nomads. Oh,
so good. Yeah.
Nomads is actually pretty damn decent. I like that one.
That's a good play on words. I don't get why Barretto's laughing at that. He doesn't like a play on words, we found earlier in this episode.
This one was good from Duncan Idaho 11. Was banned from SeaWorld, the Porpoising Appreciation Podcast. So anyone who's followed testing so far. Yeah.
Niche.
Anyone who's been following testing so far will know what that means. Anyone who hasn't will be thoroughly confused. And I'm not going to explain porpoising to you because I'm not fully convinced anyone knows what it means other than porpoises. And they can't talk. is it snowing? At snowing underscore is, which seems to be a contradiction to their name. No reserve needed, which I like as well. Good F1 theme. Mm. And Ash Jano actually asked, no clues to who called Medlin mid-episode, so Ash Jano now knows who you spoke to, Medlin. So we've got a very happy group of campers. Oh, there was one, Martin Gill, actually. I know he emailed you as well, Medlin, but he tweeted some in. So Martin Gill is the guy who did the 60-second review music. He tweeted us, hashtag boot Medlin, with five suggestions.
I mean,
and he emailed us as well. So this is now the Martin Gill special segment, bonus, Easter egg, Gillinator. Number one, so long and thanks for all the podcasting equipment. Like it. Two, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the World Drivers' Championship. Three, F1 Nation, but Nate spelt N-A-T-E.
Four, like that.
Four, Colonel Saunders, which... is good, but kind of ignores Lawrence, unless Lawrence is Colonel. I don't know. This one was my favorite one. Five. Bear in mind, this is for a podcast with me, Nate Saunders, and F1's Lawrence Barreto. The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah.
So that one from Martin Gill, for me, was they were all great. So I appreciate everyone getting involved in that silly game. I mean, and please do keep tweeting at hashtag boot Medlin, because, you know, eventually maybe we will boot Medlin. And we'll have loads of names for when we do.
Well, two things. One, am I still allowed on at the moment? You haven't made this.
You're allowed at the moment. Yeah. This is still the pad hoc.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You know, we like. But when we start, like E-Meters, but
when we start nice the Bold and the Beautiful as like a side episode, you know, side project, we'll just see which one's more popular.
Well, good luck with that. And the other point I was going to make was that Martin also emailed because he sent through a story time jingle, which we haven't had need for in this episode, but there will be need for it at some stage.
But trust us, listeners, we will. For medicine story time.
that's the sleep episode, isn't it? But at the bottom of this email thread, he said, please give my best to the guys and congrats to Lawrence on becoming rich. Hashtag boot Nate.
Absolute 180 from Martin after his great tweet to send that email.
And all the praise you just gave him, Nate, and he's wanting to beat you out.
I feel like he's playing both ends against the middle here, Medders. He's saying boot Medlin to one of us. He's saying boot Nate to you. He probably messaged Lawrence like, hey, man. Boot everyone.
He's just going to do Lawrence's own jingle and own show.
And Lawrence nice to throw Martin in the mud.
No one wants a Lawrence monologue, though, so I don't think that's going to work either.
Ooh.
I mean, Martin might. He might. He'll probably email you tomorrow.
There's a segment. Hashtag. I like the idea of that, the Lawrence monologue.
Oh, that'd be...
I mean, especially on really, really politically charged matters where his bosses will be delighted that he is spouting
the F1
thing official
Stefano's
opinion.
Stefano's bungled in his first months in charge. Right, well, what a note to end on.
Right, I'll tell you what, let's call this quits before it escalates and I get fired. Thanks very much, chaps. It's been a pleasure as always, and thanks to everyone who is listening. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Medis' work on racer.com, and my work on F1.com. Please remember to hit the subscribe button and follow us on our social channels. You can follow us at The Padhoc on Twitter. We'll do this again very, very soon.
Bye.
Goodbye, like.